What is it that you don't understand about the Old Testament? Because the way that you misunderstand the Old Testament is the way that you misunderstand your own life. Jesus tells us what the Old Testament is about. He says that the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms are about him. And more specifically, he opens their minds so that they can understand the scriptures, so that they can understand that that Christ is to suffer and rise again on the third day. Jesus tells us that the Old Testament is about him. But what does it mean to say that? Does it mean that there are some prophecies in the Old Testament that predict Jesus? Well, certainly there are, and Luke gives us a few of them. He gives us, for example, Isaiah 53, because in Luke chapter 22, Jesus cites that passage. He was numbered among the transgressors, and Jesus tells us that this finds its fulfillment in him. But Luke doesn't give us very many of those passages. Is there something else that this could mean, that the Old Testament is about Jesus? Certainly the early church understood this in a more comprehensive way. The earliest Christian sermon that we have is about the Passover by Melito of Sardis. And Melito tells the story of the Exodus, and then he tells the story of Christ. And for him, they are simply the same story. That Pharaoh is kind of a stand-in for Satan, and he is defeated by the blood of the Lamb. And so the story of Christ plays out in the Exodus story on a kind of a small scale. Now, if we want to appropriate some of Melito's insights here, we might say that Christ gives us a pattern of the way that God works, that there is death and resurrection, first and foremost in the case of Christ. But this is a pattern that we see throughout the Old Testament, played out in a large scale, on a small scale, all over the place. When God sees the increasing wickedness of the human race, he sends floods to wipe them out. And yet, a little later, the Spirit of God is at work. The wind blows on the waters, and they recede, and God restores life to the world. God sees the wickedness of the Israelites and sends an invading army to crush them, to take them into captivity and exile. And yet, a little later, God opens a road in the desert and brings them home and restores their life. We see the pattern of Jesus throughout the Old Testament. Now, that might remain a merely academic point. It might be of interest only to those who study the hermeneutics of the Old Testament, if it were not for the fact that Jesus continues his statement in the Gospel of Luke, that the Son of Man should suffer and on the third day rise again, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins be preached in his name to all nations. Now here's the pattern again: death and life, repentance and forgiveness. Only now he's saying that not only is the Old Testament about him, but your life is about him too. In repentance, Christ kills every attempt to find your own happiness, to look to your own powers or to someone else for the good in your life. And he replaces it only with the life that he gives to you in the forgiveness of sins. It's the same pattern, death and life. Because we have a God who works good out of evil. Christianity is not a religion that tries to avoid suffering at all costs. That's Gnosticism. The Gnostics say that this world is an illusion and that the goal of religion is to escape it and to escape its suffering, even to the point of claiming that Christ did not suffer. That the Spirit Christ flew away from the earthly Jesus before the crucifixion. Not so with Christianity, because we honor the martyrs who suffered, following in the footsteps of Christ. And on this day in which we celebrate St. Luke the Evangelist, who was a physician, we think especially of those who are suffering from illness. How does that suffering fit into the pattern? Sickness is not the same as martyrdom, but it is perhaps an echo of that same pattern. Now, it would be tempting to give you an anecdote about someone who was brought closer to the Lord or to his family because of cancer, and in that way to find good out of suffering. But I'm not going to do that, because sometimes suffering is so horrible that there is no silver lining that we can find. The child who dies, the mother whose or grandmother whose mind is claimed by Alzheimer's disease. But even these examples of suffering are not beyond the pale of God's care. They are not beyond the pale of the pattern of death and life. And so in those times, we have only Jesus to open our minds so that we understand that our life is about him. And he rose from the dead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.